Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
So we are in the series, Know Thy Voice. And it's been an awesome series. If you didn't, maybe you haven't got it, because at first I thought it was about hearing God's voice, but knowing thy voice is actually more about knowing God. And when you know God, you're able to know his voice. What his voice, not so much maybe what it's saying, but to detect what is from God and what is from something else. You know? And I've been using the passage in John chapter 10 about the shepherd and calling out the sheep and calling them by name. That Jesus says, I am the shepherd. And today we're going to talk about how he's the gate. And so I want you to turn to your Bibles to John chapter 10, verse 7, and we'll go to verse 10. It says, therefore, Jesus said again, very truly, I tell you. So he's not just saying, I tell you, he's saying very truly. Okay, he's stressing something here. He's like, listen, if you're not listening, listen to this, okay? Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. He wants them to really listen in, because what he's about to say is probably not normal. Like, even if you picture Jesus saying to you, I am the gate. If what does that mean? Are you a physical gate? Do you deny and accept things? What does that mean? It's like, and so he's like, I want you to remember this. Don't forget this. Don't forget this. It's easy to forget the statement if you're not understanding it, right? We kind of ignore it. I've read this passage before and I've ignored that verse. I look at I am a shepherd because that makes more sense to me. But we're going to break it down of what it means that him being the gate in our lives. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. Anybody been robbed before? You know, a few people in Toronto. You know, if you're in Atlanta, the whole church would be probably hand. I'm just kidding. I was in Atlanta a year ago, and our car was robbed. Broken glass everywhere. Broken glass. And sorry, I think that was a rap song that almost came up. And my laptop was stolen. My bag was stolen. My Bible, my pocket Bible. This is a little bit bigger. Jesse, let me see this. My pocket Bible. This is bigger, but I had a pocket Bible. It, like, fit perfectly in my pocket. And you know what's crazy is I wasn't super annoyed about the laptop, because it was just, like, a Dell, you know. It wasn't a MacBook. So, you know, I was more concerned about my pocket Bible, because I could not find that particular pocket Bible anywhere. And I was like, man, what am I going to travel with? What am I going to use? And regardless of all that, when we got to the car and we waited for the cops, and it took like 3 hours because it was Super Bowl weekend. Everybody was getting robbed that weekend because everyone was traveling into Atlanta. And we just felt like violated. Felt like that exactly what is robbed. Felt like hope was taken from us. Hopeless. And this is exactly what thieves and robbers are. This is exactly what the thief will try and come and do into our life. Because if we go on and read, it says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Say full. Say full life. Did you know that God has designed full life for every one of us? It's not an incomplete life. It's not a half-full life. It is a full life. But sometimes we might not experience full life because of what comes our way. See, we need to know God more and more so we can know his voice. And maybe he's going to tell us how to handle that situation. Maybe he's going to speak to us. Or maybe he's going to tell us the voice or the thought we've been tolerating and listening to is not from him. So we need to drop it. We need to let it go. See, the shepherd as the gate is very interesting, because again, I always pictured a gate, and the shepherd just opening the gate, closing the gate, opening, and that could be tiring, you know? So he actually, if you think of a sheepfold, like a sheep pen, he would be the door. Physically, he's the door. There is no wooden door or gate. He's the dude right here. So he's just like right here. This is the only way in. All my sheep are here, and I'm just hanging here. Does this look uncomfortable? Are you laughing at me weirdly? I Google it, okay? And I Googled the image, and it's beautiful because he's just like sitting there. And he is the actual gate. He's the doorway. And the reason why is he's protecting the sheep from any outside predators, from any outside thieves, from any outside robbers. And then he's the one that leads them out. They go in and out and find pasture. What that means is freedom. They have freedom because we have freedom to go out. The key thing is we need to hear his voice as we go out. You know, I was fascinated by what is called cookie butter. You guys know what cookie butter is? It's legit cookies grounded up into a butter, and you put it on toast. It's like, when you think about it, it's like Nutella on crack or something. It's like this is the next thing, okay? And you could only get it at Trader Joe's in the States, from my knowledge. And so I was in the States for something. I went to Trader Joe's before getting on my plane, and I got some cookie butter. I almost got three because I was like, oh, man, I don't know when I'm going to come back. I want to get a lot of these. This is a long time ago, okay? This wasn't last week, okay? I don't like, you know. And so I got one, you know, get to the airport, put it in my hand luggage, not thinking of anything, you know. And we get through the security gate. The security gate, you go through, and you're not really through yet. You just do the thing, you know, and you're wondering if they're going to search you, if they're going to ask you questions. I don't know. It's never happened to me, but I always think the worst when I get there. And then I see my bag going through. I'm like, okay, the guy's taking my bag and putting it to this table. What's happening now? Because I need to go. I need to get on my plane. And because, you know, I love this cookie butter, even though I didn't really know what it tasted like, I wrapped it in a T-shirt. So he takes my T-shirt out, this thing. It's like a sacred object. And he unravels my T-shirt, and he's like, cookie butter. And he looks at me confused. Why did you wrap this? I'm like, it's cookie butter. And he was confused that cookie butter even existed. And I'm like, it's cookie butter. It's only available here. And he's like, well, I can't let you go there. I'm like, why? It's a solid. This is not a liquid. I don't drink it. I eat it. I put it on some bread, and I chew on it. It's a solid, okay? And it goes down. And he's like, this could become a liquid, and I can't let this through. And he puts it in this container or this whatever basket of other things that are full, which I really truly believe they take that home. And I try to be like, I'm just blessing someone. It's interesting, though, the security gate is there for a reason, right? To pick up things that could cause harm to people. So you have this assurance when you go through the gate that there is life on the other side, that you are free from worry. You have a security. Here's the thing. Jesus is the gate. He's the gate to full life. And when we go through Jesus as the gate who gives us eternal life, he's able to detect what is actually producing harm in our life. What are the things that we are bringing up, picking up, holding on to that is actually draining our life? It's causing us, it's preventing us from entering into full life. What are those things? And then there are things that he grants access to that produces life. I want to speak to anyone who feels like life has been stolen away. Your life, it feels like your life, it's feel like time is wasted. I feel like I missed out. Something has been stolen away. I'm trying to control things too much and it's not getting anywhere. I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you to surrender it to God. Surrender your need of control into God's control. And as you surrender, you will experience life to the full. My first point is our full life is only truly accessed when Jesus is the gate. There is no other gate. There is one gate in, one gate out. John chapter 14, verse 5, Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way? Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's like we asked that question to God after we read this verse. He says, I have come to give life and life to the full. God, how do we get there? And we still don't listen that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And we pick our own way. Or we grab what the world is telling us to grab. Or we grab what the voice of discouragement is telling us to grab. See, the full life that God promised us is not, it's not going to be in our marriage. It's not going to be in our kids. It's not going to be in our career. It's not going to be in the wealth that you accumulate. It's not going to be at the amazing test results you have during midterms or final exams. And those are all great things. And those are blessings from God. But if you don't have Jesus in your life, you are not going to experience full life. Why? Because there is only one gate. There is one gate in, one gate out. You know, I think of glass doors. Has anybody ever walked into a glass door? Katie, you have? Really? Oh, tell me later. Yeah. See, we're still getting to know each other. Two are becoming one. We're not one. We're getting to know each other. I've walked into a glass door twice. And kudos to the household. You know, I don't remember where I was, but the thought I had was, man, you have a clean glass. And when you look at the glass, it's like, man, I want to go outside. It's like green. It's backyard. Barbecue's going. People are playing spike ball. Things are happening. You know, and they're inside. And it's like, I'm ready to go outside. I'm ready to go. And you think it's open, but you hit the glass door once, maybe twice, not the same time in life. That's like, it's like a glass door of wealth. It's like a glass door of that relationship. It's a glass door. We think these are gates to full life. We think these are doors to full life, that this is going to provide the full life for us. But we end up just hitting ourselves again and again at a glass door, because none of those things will actually give us true life like God will. It's like with wealth, we think, oh, once I get to this level of income, I will have satisfaction. Right? And then the enemy talks again. Oh, no, it's actually not this level. It's the other level. So then you get to that level. It's like, man, I still don't feel sad. Oh, no, you actually have to leave this company and get a different job title, a respectable job, a higher job title. And once you get that, you'll be satisfied. And it keeps on pushing us. And we realize none of those things actually give me full life. None of those things actually give me satisfaction. Again, great things, but it's not the do-all, end-all. Jesus gives us full life. You know, and God knows us the best. The verse says, very truly I tell you. He's saying, trust me. This verse, Psalm 139, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. God knows us the best. He knows us better than anyone ever. Don't you think he's the one to give us full life? Don't you think he knows the false promises in this world, what the world tries to offer, that it's actually not going to give us full life? My wife, everyone needs a friend. You know those friends who they see you and it's like, man, what's going on? Talk to me. Talk to me, Jerry. You look upset. You look like you just cried. I don't know. Talk to me. You know, Jesse's like that person. Everybody needs a good friend like that. And you could find that friend here at C3 Toronto. Okay? Shout out to Connect Groups. Get into Connect Groups. Someone will know, okay? But my wife, her gift is on another level. Well, I don't need to say anything. I don't need to do anything. I could just be watching TV and she'd be like, what's wrong? She just has this gift, this discernment. And she tries to pull it out of me. The thing is, she doesn't know what I'm actually thinking until I say it. Let me tell you something. God knows exactly what you're thinking. God knows exactly what you're trying to decide on. God knows exactly the voices you're allowing in your life. He knows what you're struggling through. He knows the discouragement that you're feeling. He knows everything. It says he knows every hair on your head. So why don't we go to him who knows everything to help us through what we're going through? And that's sending everything to the gate. There's one way to get onto that plane. It was to go through that security gate. There was one way to get onto my destination. I had to go through that security gate. There is one way to full life, and that is going through the gate of Jesus. Thank you, front row. It's okay. God wants us to go somewhere, church. He wants us to go somewhere. What are we holding on to? What are the things we're trying to hold on to? What are the things we're trying to bring through the gate? We can't even fit. Like, sometimes you look at the gate, and there's a security gate, and there's like people have, like, 10 baskets of stuff. It's like, how are they allowed to everything in here? Like, there's checked luggage. You know what's funny? That cookie butter that I didn't taste in that time of my life, it actually doesn't live up to the hype. Because a few months later, I drove down to the States to go to Trader Joe's to get me my cookie butter. I got my cookie butter. I exercised self-control. I came home, had some toast, slabbered that thing on the toast, nice and thick, ate it, and it tasted like crap. Truth. And that cookie butter expired in our cupboard, and we threw it out. Yeah, I had it for a long time, even into marriage. It's funny because that's exactly how the enemy works. The enemy, the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy, will actually tell you, hey, go this way. Drive all the way down to Buffalo. Go through the process. Go through the trials. Get there. Buy it. All that time and effort we go through. And then when we get there, it doesn't actually satisfy. It actually doesn't meet the expectation. And that's exactly what the enemy wants to do. And that's exactly what prevents us from getting into full life. When Jesus is our gate, he allows the best into our lives, giving us the full life. So we must send everything through the gate. And that's my second point. We must send everything through the gate. You know, we pick up things when we go out, you know, through the ins and outs of life, through the ins and outs of Christianity, we pick up things. You know, as the sheep go out, they pick up things. It's like you know, when you go to Costco. Who goes to Costco? Does anyone go to Costco? I got a membership. Holla. Shout out to my in-laws. Saw a text message. Hey, Jerry's on the membership. I can go to Costco by myself. And it's interesting, every time we go to Costco, we just, it's like you don't even need to go in the aisle. The olive oil aisle, you have olive oil, but you just want to go anyways. And you just pick up all these things. And it's like, this looks good, this looks good. Like, I don't know why we need this gigantic container of coconut oil. Like, I don't know why, but we're going to get it anyways because it's cheap, it looks cheap. And you put in this, your car, you get to the check-in, and then you get the bill. I'm like, how did I get all this stuff? How did it cost all this money? It's kind of like life. We go through life picking up things, picking up thoughts. You go with the intention of going to Costco just for some chicken to prep your meal for the week, because this exactly happened to us. Exact thing, but then you pick up things. You pick up the wrong thoughts. You pick up the wrong voices. You pick up what your friend might have said with good intent, but it actually discouraged you, and then you let it marinate, and it actually affects you for the worst. It affects you negatively. We pick up all these things, but what do we do with them? We need to leave it at the gate. We can't hold on to it. We need to leave it at the feet of Jesus. We need to send everything to the gate. Is it possible some of the things we picked up in life need to be exposed by the gate so it could be denied by the gate? How is it supposed to be exposed? How is it supposed to come to the light? How are we supposed to know? 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, it says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. We make it obedient to Christ. What is Christ? Christ is Jesus. What is Jesus? Jesus is the Word. Because in John chapter 1, it said that Jesus, the Word, became flesh. The flesh became the Word. It is the same thing. This Bible, which is over there, is Jesus. So we make whatever we hear, whatever voice we hear, whatever thought we have that doesn't produce life, we put it up against God's voice, against God's Word. See, so if the gate is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word, that means the gate speaks to us. Jesus speaks to us. I love this verse in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the attitudes of the heart. So what does that mean? The Bible, it opens up our heart. It's like open heart surgery. It's like a scalpel, and it cuts precisely the thing of lies that you've been letting it sit. It cuts precisely the voice you've been hearing that's discouraging, the voice that's telling you you're not good enough. Like Jason's story. Oh my gosh, Jason's story. He heard, voices come from our mind. It comes from people. He heard this voice that said he's not good enough. And that carried through the whole life. But he was able to meet Jesus. And when he met Jesus, Jesus cut that lie out of his life. So he no longer believes it. We have to send everything through the gate. Even last week, I was on social media, and last week I felt social media, it actually, if you go on too much, it's probably not the best. Like, and actually, I follow a lot of people, people that are just like in ministry ahead of me, and so I want exposure. I want to hear what they're saying. I want to follow what they're doing. you know, to be inspired, you know. And but the other thing, the negative side of that is sometimes you can let the wrong voices come in. Like the voice saying, oh, you'll never be there. Oh, you'll never get there. The voice that says that oh, God doesn't recognize you like that. This person is more advanced than you. This person has it going. These oh, you're not good enough. I heard the same voice Jason heard. You're not, I hear that voice all the time. But here's the thing. We have the power, we have the freedom to say, no, I'm not gonna listen to that voice, to shut that voice out. So I sent it through the gate. And Jesus said, hey, maybe you just need to cut off social media for now. And so I cut off social media, and I've been able to have a clear head. I'm gonna go back on it, but maybe sometimes we need to take a break from things. You know, maybe there's a relationship that we're listening to that's tormenting us, that's causing us an attention. It could be a relationship. It could be a friendship. It could be a friendship group. Maybe it's time to cut that thing. Maybe the gate is telling you you need to deny access because it's having access to your heart, to your thoughts, and it's not giving the full life that I've intended you to have. We got to send everything through the gate. And part of sending everything through the gate is we have to know what the gate is saying. You know, I remember... Before cell phones were like really a thing, when you know the stage before your parents got cell phones, it was like first all the 10-year-olds get cell phones and then the parents, and it was like flip phone stage. And so I didn't have one yet because my parents are amazing, and we had a landline at home, and so that's what we used. And when I was growing up, I would go answer the phone. I didn't have any friends, but I didn't have any friends that would call me. But praise God, he's good. And I would answer the phone, and it would be like my Sri Lankan uncle or aunt calling most of the time, and they would just talk for hours and talk their ears off. And so I remember them calling all the time and be like, I'm like, hello, and they're like, hello, Robin? Oh, let the cricket in. They should go get some food. It's like broken Tamil and English together. I'm like, what is happening? Because Tamil's like that. It's really, I don't understand it. So I'm like, what is happening right now? And the guy just keeps on talking and talking, thinking I'm my dad. And I'm like, hold up. And as soon as he stops, I'm like, wait, this is his son, Jerry. Oh, Jerry, you sound just like your father. I'm like, how do you figure? I don't have an accent. I'm pretty sure my dad answers the phone as, hello. And I answer the phone as, hello. But maybe... if he stopped talking so much and listened, he would have recognized my voice. Maybe if we stopped talking so much and actually in the stillness, like Pastor Sam was talking about last week, listen to God, we will recognize what is his voice and what is the other voices. We need to read God's word. We need to take it in. We need to meditate on it. We need to know what it says, because this is knowing God. And as we get to know God, we will know what's his voice. See, God can identify the lie. He can highlight the troubling thought. He can pick out the voice that is telling you to settle or compromise. He has something to say to any negative voice or negative thought in your life. He has something to say, because he doesn't want you to go through that. He doesn't want you to hold on to that. He doesn't want you to be stuck at the gate, the security gate, missing your full life. That is not his plan. That is not his intention for us. You know, I know my dad. I know my earthly dad. And I know him so well that I could detect his voice. You know, he works at Walmart, and he loves when we come visit him. Sometimes we go visit him, and I hear him on the intercom. I'm like, that's my dad. He's cool. He's on the intercom. Now it's some like crazy like message, you know. I'm just kidding. It's normally like someone call me right now. That's the intercom message. That's my dad. He calls me sometimes, and I don't pick up because I know it's going to be a long conversation. So he calls me from an unknown number, from his business line. Okay, it took me a couple of months to realize that was his business line, because I never saved it. Now I have dad's work on my phone. But as soon as he said hello, I knew it was my dad. I knew it was my dad. I recognized his voice because I know him. I know everything about him. I know what he loves. I know what he hates. Can we know God? Can we know what God loves? Can we know God more and more? Can we have a deep relationship so we know what he's saying? We know what's coming from him. We know what's coming from the enemy. We know what's coming from him as encouragement. We know what's coming from the enemy as discouragement. We know what he's saying for our life, that he has a plan to prosper us. And can we discern the voice that is saying that we have no plan? Can we cut that thing out? Can we let the gate deny what needs to be denied and grant in what needs to be granted in? That's the word of God. The word of God will do that. Connect groups. And men's fall feast, but connect groups, amazing. Sorry, I just went back to connect groups. Let me talk about connect groups. Connect groups are an amazing opportunity for you to share your burdens, to share life with each other, what you're going through. James talks about confessing your sins to one another and you shall be healed. Do you want to know why? Because there is power bringing something into the light. When you bring something into the light, when you become vulnerable and don't care what people think, because the voice will tell you, people are going to think bad about you. When you cut that voice out and you actually tell someone what you're going through, you feel a little bit freer. I don't even know that's a word. But you feel freedom because you brought it to the light. That's the power of accountability. And you'll get that at Connect Groups. That's something that will produce life. Teams. I love teams. You know why I love teams? Because teams is all about being other-centered, other-focused. You know? It's sometimes we focus too much on our issues, too much on our problems, and it heightens, it magnifies, and then the stress comes in, then the anxiety comes in. But maybe me being other focused will take the magnification off that issue, the magnification off that voice. And so I'm other focused, serving others. Love Toronto weekend. Let's get on that. Let's sign up for that. That's going to be so good for us. We're going to have an opportunity to serve people, but it's actually going to build us. And what we're doing with the men, I know I talk to Katie a lot and she has this amazing connection with women and they just become very vulnerable. But men need that. We need that too. The voice of the world will say, don't say anything because otherwise people are going to think you're a pansy. I've heard that voice before, but I'm telling you, the freedom that we have as men to talk to each other, to share what we're going through and not caring what anyone's going to think, but sharing it, to go through with one another, there is healing in it. There's power in that. Those are the things that will grant us life. Those are the things that the gate wants us to go through. Can it be that the very thing that the gate needs to deny is the thing that is sucking the life out of us? The question is, maybe the question you're asking is, what else must I do, Jerry? That's probably a question we all get. What else must I do to get full life? Maybe the question is for you is, what should I leave at the gate? What should I leave at the gate and surrender to Jesus? Surrender to God, that posture, and let him reveal, let him expose the things that is causing harm so you can excuse it from your life. See, surrender, it's not about loss, it's all about the gain. When you surrender into a relationship with him, it's all about the gain in Jesus. And this is my final point. The result of surrendering to the gate is full life. Luke chapter 5, verse 4 to 7. This is a story of the disciples, a group of guys, not even disciples yet, become disciples because they forget their life of fishing and following Jesus. And because they see he is the gate to full life. And this is just a glimpse, I think, of full life in an event. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered him and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing." Sometimes life feels like that. We've been working all night, all day, all week, all year, the last 5 years, and caught nothing. I want to give up. I'm done fishing. But Simon Peter took Jesus' word for it and said, "Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish. Their net was breaking, so they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. This is surrender. This is obedience, but it's surrendering to God's voice. It's surrendering to God's words. Because they could have had the attitude, "Jesus, you're a carpenter. I'm a fisherman. Let me do me, you do you. This net is huge. I had to fold it up. I just got in. You want me to go back out to the same place, the same lake where I was trying to fish and didn't catch anything? You want me to go it again? But at your word, I will do it." This was submission to his voice. This was surrender to his voice. And the difference was, he probably did the same net, threw it down the same way, was in the same lake. The difference was his action. His posture was surrendered to God. You might feel like you're at the same point in life as last year or as the year before, but it's time to surrender to God today. There's a difference. There's a difference. Surrender could bring your full life that you desire and need. Surrender, it's all about fully gaining the full life that Christ has for us. The life he always wants for us. The life he designed for us. But we got to surrender to his voice. You know what's funny about surrender? Or is it funny? I don't know. We just talked about in worship that this surrender, having the hands up, is a sign of surrender and worship. So picture two hands up. I have to have the mic here because I want to talk to you. This is surrender. You know what's interesting is that same motion of hands up in the air is also the sign for victory. It's also the sign for victory. So when we're one moment, we're surrendering to God. God, I surrender. I surrender this fear. I surrender this fear of what's next. I surrender this fear that I can't do it on my own, that I can't find the person, perfect person. I surrender my marriage because I'm trying to do it on my control. Enemy, I'll win. I'm victorious because I don't trust in your plan. I trust in God's plan because my Bible says I haven't been given a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and sound mind. And my sound mind is telling me you're an idiot. Peace. God, I surrender. I surrender it all to you. I surrender to your voice. Enemy, I win. I know what your voice sounds like. Your voice is so small. God's voice is bigger. God's voice lifts me up. Your voice sucks. Peace. God, I surrender. See, we surrender to God, but we actually have victory to the world. We have victory to those voices. We have victory against those thoughts because we surrender everything to Jesus. We put it through the gate. We let the word reveal what it needs to reveal. And we enter into full life. We enter into full life. Can everybody bow their head and close their eyes? John 10:9 says, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me shall be saved. Surrendering our lives is to go through this gate and experience salvation with Jesus. Jesus is the gate to our life. He is the door to our life to save us from the pain of living less than he's designed us for. But this begins with the door of salvation. To surrender our lives fully to him, every area. Our marriage, our relationships, our friendships, our calling, our profession, our career, our resources, and surrendering our full life to him. And if you've never done that today, I'm going to give you an opportunity to give your life to Jesus and ask him into yours. You might be that first person who's never done that. Today's the day. The second person, you've picked up some voices, some thoughts that cause distance from you and God. God is calling you. The shepherd calls us by name. He knows us. It's time to return. It's time to come back. Commit everything to God. And that third person, maybe you have a doubt that if you die today, you want that assurance that you will spend eternity with Jesus. And you just want that assurance. If you are one of those three people, with no one looking around, only God acknowledging this, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you are one of those three people.